Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Wow, this is amazing. This is fantastic. This is actually my favorite building of any location of Hope City. It is the coolest building. I have actually been in Hope City before where a keyboard has collapsed. I was in Hope City, Accra, in Ghana, and the keyboard was going down, and Pete played it the whole way down to the ground. He just went, that was wonderful to watch. Well, it's so good. This is a very special week for me, guys. Do you know why this is a special week for me? I turn 50 on Thursday. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes. So I intend to, I contend to make 50 the new 30. Yes. I am unashamedly not going to grow old and wear sensible shoes or anything. I am determined to redefine the 50s. So, I have an empty nest now. I did have a completely empty nest, but I now have a cat that I was given for Christmas. So I do have a responsibility, a little one. Do you know she tore my wallpaper off my wall? I'm telling you. But I found a roll of the discontinued on eBay, so that's good. It's been a while since I've been here last. I've had a total hip replacement since I was here last, but I'm good to go. I'm titanium on both sides now, so I truly am a bionic woman. And back in the gym pulling 80-kilo tyres and everything you're supposed to do. So I'm sure they don't think you're going to do that when you have your hip replaced, do they? I don't think they designed for that. But honestly, it's fine. It's good. So I've just got a feeling this morning that God really wants to do something. Well, I always have that feeling, but I really have that feeling today. That God really wants to do something. It's sensational to see what God is doing here. Oh, goodness, I'm straight in, aren't I? So I just had a feeling in my spirit that there's going to be a multinational company that's going to come into this area of town. And at first, it's going to look like they're going to be annoying to you, but you're actually going to make an agreement with this multinational company that is going to bless the church. I have a sense in my spirit that they're going to love what you do. They're going to love the work of City Hearts. And then they're going to love the work of the church. And they're going to get behind you in an unprecedented way. Just the oddest word. And it's going to happen very soon in this area of town. And because of that company, the eye of the city is going to be on that company. And the eye of the city is going to be on the church in Jesus' name. And God's going to give you influence. God, I'm prophesying. I haven't even started preaching. It's ridiculous. God's going to give you influence in this part of the city like you've not known. And it's going to be through the vehicle of a company and in a way that you is completely unexpected, because God would say to you this morning that I came on a colt, the foal of a donkey, and nobody expected that God would come into town seated on a donkey, but that is exactly the way that God is going to give Hope City Newcastle influence that goes beyond your wildest imagination. Amen. I could sit down. That would be good for the day, wouldn't it? And Rachel, I have a word for you as well. I will get to the word, or I may not. Rachel, I just felt in my spirit that God wants to encourage you that your day has not yet come. And just right in front of you, as I was sitting there, I saw you speaking in women's conferences. I saw you speaking in large women's events, and your invitations are going to begin to land on your desk. Simon, you're going to have to cope with a mighty woman of God. I've known Rachel since she was 14 years old, I've known Rachel. So which means you've been around 5 years. And Rachel truly is the most determined, God-loving, stick-with-the-program girl, pastor, woman of God you could ever meet. And I just sense in my spirit there are invitations. And it's been a desire of your heart that you've not even told anyone. And God's going to give you large platforms. And you're going to go into environments and speak the word of God, and lives are literally going to change because of the words that come out of your mouth. Amen. Simon, this is what I'm not prophesying now. Simon, this is what happens when a man marries a woman. When a man marries a woman, they lose the ability to find anything. So the reason you put your hand in Rachel's bag, you can't see anything, is because upon that altar call where you say, till death do us part, men lose the ability to find anything for the rest of their lives. So that's why you can't find anything in Rachel's bag. Just thought I'd lay it out for you so you understand the lack in your life of your ability. Because like Dave can say to me, Jen, where's my keys? And I'll go, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Hello, ladies. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'll get on to my message and we'll come back. So the title of my message this morning is The Invitation to the Uninvited. So just turn to your neighbor and say, you're invited. So it seems like all my adult life, I have been going into places and doing things I've never been invited to do. Right. I was never invited to the UK. I was convict, the other side of the world, people. I was never invited to the UK. We were never invited to start a church in Sheffield. We're never invited to start a church in Leeds or Birmingham or Newcastle or Liverpool or Sunderland or York. We were never invited to start a church in Ghana. We were never invited to start a church in Frankfurt. And we were never invited to start a church in Kuala Lumpur. And I was never invited to launch City Hearts. Nobody ever came to me and says, Jen, do you know what I think would be a really great idea if you started an organization to save people from human trafficking? Not only was I never invited, it was never even prophesied. No one prophesied over me, do this, do that, do the other. In actual fact, when Dave and I left Australia, a very well-meaning pastor said to us, when it doesn't work out, come back and I'll give you a job in my church. It's interesting, isn't it, that sometimes the major things that we step into in our lives, we never had another human being give us an invitation. But the invitation we have to our future is the invitation given to us by a whisper from heaven. It's the invitation given to us from the Spirit of God. And I'll never forget the day when it was really burning in my heart to begin City Hearts 10, 11 years ago. And I remember the words that changed my life. And they weren't profound. It wasn't a scripture that was from the depths of Leviticus. It wasn't a prophet from across the world. And these were the two words when I said to God, how do I start City Hearts? And these were the two words the Holy Spirit whispered into my spirit. Just start. Just start. Because what happens in our life is we have an inertia in our spirit because we think we have to be somebody huge, enormous, not as in huge, enormous, but we think we have to be somebody else before we start what God wants us to do. And God wants to speak into our spirits today through a wonderful guy in the Old Testament that we know so well, a guy called Gideon. And in effect, God spoke into Gideon's spirit and said, just start. So, we're going to go to the scripture. Is that good? The only invitation we have ever received from heaven is the whisper of possibility into our ear from the Holy Spirit. And we can spend our lives waiting for an invitation that qualifies us to fulfill our future. Hello. When all the time our invitation is handed to us by God already. There is an invitation today at the outset of this new season to engage with your God-given purpose. And all the demons of hell and the intricacies of life conspire to cause you not to start. And often this sabotage comes when we compare ourselves to someone else's lofty purpose and thus fail to fulfill our own. We spend a lot of our lives trying to run somebody else's lane. And thus we don't run our own race. And I would encourage you this morning that there is stuff in your life that God just wants you to start. We feel dwarfed by the crazes and pressures, even in Christianity and Christendom, and things that everyone else is doing, and we fail to fulfill our unique purpose. This is your invitation to the uninvited. So Sometimes when you're preaching, I'll give you a tip for free. You stop and you're just about to say something and the Holy Spirit arrests you. You need to say this. For those of you that don't know, I am the baby of a gang rape. Adopted into a home, unwanted, unloved, unwanted child. I have never been qualified to be a woman of God. I am not the person that I am. I am the shyest girl on the planet. It's true. And I've had to address what God's whispered into my spirit of who he wants me to be. This is not a natural place. I am not a sanguine party animal upfront person. That is not me. That is Beth Blois, our Sheffield pastor, is that person. I'm not that person. But God comes and anoints, not skill. He anoints a heart for God. He anoints people that are hungry for him. He anoints people that are willing to say, do you know what, God, just use me. Come on, God, just use me. I lay myself out. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about a guy called Gideon from Judges chapter 6. And this is a guy that just started. So I'm going to read to you Judges 6, verse 1 to 6. And this is the passage where it speaks about the environment that Gideon was in. Are you ready? So again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Where, whenever the Israelites planted the crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. And so Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. So this is where Gideon was. This was the situation he was in. Everything him and his people had ever worked for had been ravaged, had been taken away. There wasn't even an opportunity for him to grow stuff. He was hidden away. His life was hidden. And so we come across Gideon. This was an impossible situation. The people were barely advancing. They were barely coping. And often we find ourselves in that space. We feel we're barely advancing and we're barely coping. And then God, the Holy Spirit, comes and says, just start. Because you will never feel ready. There will not be a moment in your life when you feel ready to do what God's got for you. Because if it was possible for you to do what you need to do, you wouldn't need God to do it. So God comes and lays out the future before you when you feel like you haven't got what it takes. And so we find Gideon. This was a man, and this is what the scripture says he was doing in Judges 6:11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress. Now, so often we think of Gideon, if you know this story, we think, oh, Gideon, what was he doing? What was old Gideon doing hiding away there, you know? A mighty man of God, he would have been out there on the page. What was he doing threshing wheat in a wine press of all places? Like, you don't thresh wheat in a wine press, do you? But as I was reading this story, I realized that Gideon was actually an incredibly mighty man. Because what Gideon was doing was he was doing what he knew to do. He was being productive in obscurity. He was being productive behind the scenes. And so the Bible says that God, an angel of the Lord, literally came and sat down beside Gideon. I don't know about you, if you woke up this morning and an angel of the Lord came and sat down on your end of the bed, it'd be quite a good day. You'd remember that moment, wouldn't you? Then an angel of the Lord, he literally came and sat down. Now, why did the angel of the Lord come and sit down beside a guy who was threshing wheat in a wine press? Because God saw that Gideon was being productive in his own lane. Gideon was being productive at what he could do. He was producing for an audience of heaven. He was producing at the time in his life when it was impossible to do it on the main stage. And so the angel of the Lord came and sat down. Now, the reason the angel of the Lord wants to come and wants to bless this church is your senior pastors have been faithfully producing. The team here have been faithfully producing. Threshing wheat in a wine press when no one could see, when the city couldn't see. And so therefore, in Jesus' name, the time is coming when multinational companies will come. Because you as a house have produced wheat in a wine press. You have produced in obscurity. He was doing what he knew to do whilst he was hidden. He was doing what he knew to do under severe threat. He was producing in secret. And so, God's Spirit literally came and sat down. He had time for him. He celebrated him. Because he maintained production without an audience. Who are we when no one can see? God can. He can see who we choose to be when nobody else is cheering what we're doing in secret. And because God loved that about him, he chose to anoint this man. And God wants to anoint and use the real you. The real skill he's already placed within your hand. You may feel that you have been ignored, but God has been watching you. God has been watching you individually. God has been watching you as a house, Hope City, Newcastle. And God wants to anoint the skill that you have honed under pressure. But you know, when the angel of the Lord came and sat down beside Gideon, he didn't start with a grand pronouncement about Gideon's future. This is what the angel of the Lord did when he sat down next to Gideon. He said in verse 12, "And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Now let's just look at this. He wasn't a mighty warrior because he hadn't worried anybody. He'd been threshing wheat in a wine press. And the Lord came and sat down. And the first thing he said to him was not a pronouncement or a prophecy about what he was going to do. It was a pronouncement about who he was. And before God even uses you, he comes and speaks to you and encourages you about who you are. Do you know, even Jesus needed that. "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm love and whom I'm well pleased." And so the first thing that the Lord said to Gideon is, "The Lord is with you, you mighty, mighty warrior." God affirms you, who you are in his eyes, before you step out into any audience. Before you go, God affirms you so you know that all the mighty battles you will win are not what captures his heart. He affirms you so that you know that your works are not his currency. Your understanding of sonship is. So before you go, God says, "Mighty warrior, beautiful daughter, amazing son." He comes and literally sits down beside your life and says, "This is who you are." God calls you a mighty warrior before anybody can see your endeavor. Because you matter. You matter to God. At the end of the day, I'm not a mighty woman of God. I'm the daughter of heaven. You got to pull it back before you do anything. Because you don't want your basis of your future to be on how amazing you are. You want the basis of your future to be who you are. Son and daughter, loved by God. But then Gideon went and did the really interesting thing. And we all do this. So let's just get with the program here, right? So an angel of the Lord had come and sat down Right, okay, let's just, like, who's ever had an angel of the Lord come and sit down? And not only did the angel of the Lord come and sit down beside Gideon, he then told him he was a mighty warrior. If that was you or me, we'd be set up for the year. Wouldn't we? You know, like, hey, I've got one better than you. Angel of the Lord on my bed. Mighty, mighty warrior. But then Gideon answered the way we answer God every time he speaks. And this is what Gideon said. But Lord, verse 15, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I'm the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you. So, God invites Gideon to step out with all he's won in the secret place. And Gideon's immediate response was, I need to upskill. That's what he said. My clan is the weakest, he says. And this is what God said to him. He said, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And so then his answer to go in the strength you have, his answer to God saying, I see something incredibly beautiful in you. You're good to go. Just start. Gideon's response was, oh, but no, I need another degree. If you're Nigerian in this place this morning, I need another 3 degrees. I know how it works. One of my best friends is a Nigerian GP in Sheffield, and she trains for something new every year. And I've challenged her, let's see if we can do a year without training for anything. But that's what we do. When God comes and speaks into our lives, we say, but God, I can't. We say, but they are better qualified. Yeah. We say, you couldn't possibly use me because I'm not this or I'm not that or I'm not at this stage of my life. So as your senior pastor mummy figure this morning, I'm going to just now strip away all your excuses. Are you ready, church? Okay, so this is what happens in life. We begin with by saying, but Father, I'm single. I will wait until I find, I'll start, Father, when you give me my partner. Now listen to me, you don't want to be single and ready to mingle. You want to just serve God, because let me tell you something. If you marry someone like Dave Gilpin, I have been married 30 years in December. My life has been stretched from the day I made that vow, people. And it's not just doing stuff for the kingdom of God. He has the most autistic brain on the planet. And I have to be the normality in the Gilpin household. So don't say that your life's going to get better. I mean, I love him. I love him with all my heart. But don't wait for a partner to come and fulfill you. If it's two halves, don't make a whole. They don't. So don't be single and ready to mingle. Every Friday night when I was a young woman, I used to go out, because this is what you did in the 80s. You used to go out and you used to take tracks with Jesus Loves You on them, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 like back, way, way back there, hey. And then you used to hang them out to all the punks and the skunks and stuff in town. So I was out doing that on a Friday night, serving God with all my heart. Someone introduced, so this is what, do you want to hear something about your senior pastor, Dave? You don't know. Okay, so back in the day, Dave was the act that all the churches wanted. He used to sing and play guitar. Right, he's actually an amazing guitarist, but maybe not so good now because he's probably got arthritis in his fingers. But he used to be an amazing guitarist, and he used to be the act that everybody wanted. Right, so he was playing, wasn't he, in his band? He was in a band. He was the lead singer in the band, and he used to be up. He used to be on TV playing and singing. You didn't know that about your pastor, did you? That's because he hides it deeply. because now his son is better than him. Do you want to just come into my life for a moment? I'm so excited because in May, Hope City Church is 25 years old. And we're having our Whitefields Conference to celebrate 25 years. My son is coming back from Australia. He's now singing and worship leading in our mothership in Oxford Falls in Sydney. He's coming back and he's going to lead us in worship at that conference. And the wonderfully exciting thing is two church, so be proud, right? Because Ryan is a son of this house. He's on borrow. He's on borrow to Sydney. He's a son of our house. But he has written two songs that are on the C3 album that's coming out in April. So the sung round the world and he's a son of our house. That's just a mummy moment and back to the program. So someone introduced me and I met Dave that night. I was serving God. I wasn't looking. Look, ladies, looking at me. Don't go looking for no. You don't want to marry a plonker, okay? You want a man of God, right? Don't compromise. So, okay, we've done that. Young mums. Oh, I couldn't possibly go in the strength. I couldn't do anything. I have babies. Listen to me. Come on, let me just dismantle that one. I came across the world 4 months pregnant, had a son high-level ADHD like his father. Planted a church, new country, no support system, knew nobody. Come on, if I can do it, anybody can do it. So have we ditched that one? Okay, some of you are saying, well, I couldn't possibly step out and serve God and step up in the strength I have because I haven't got the money. Don't even start. You don't know how many times I sat at a table and put a knife and fork out and asked for dinner to plant this church. And do I look malnourished? Do I look like I've been missing food for 25 years? You step out for God, he will come and provide. You can wait your entire life upskilling or waiting for God to do something more and never step out in the strength that you have. And so my challenge for us as a house this year, this is your invitation. God lays out the invitation. He doesn't put out the red carpet until you make a step. Am I being too over the top here, church? It's amazing how our response to God, to God's absolute belief in us, is to doubt the very affirmation that we can do it. We always think there's a better option. We always think there's a more opportune moment. We always think that somebody else is better qualified. Father, I'll wait, you say. And God says today that your qualification came when you sought me secretly. And I say it's time to go in the strength of that which I've already placed in your hand. It may seem insignificant what you have, but God takes the insignificant and specializes in placing his power on your weakness. Your skill set and your suitability may not be inviting you to walk into your God-given future, but your God is. Your peer group are definitely not inviting you. Whose peer group has ever said, oh, you're absolutely amazing and mighty, better than me, go and do it? Your family probably is definitely not inviting you. Your bank balance is not inviting you. I was talking to the students. I talked to the academy students this week about the gifts of the Spirit, and I had multiple people leaving the class in tears. Don't understand that. But what I did speak about is the very thing about if you don't learn to believe God for a meal, you'll never believe God for millions of pounds for a building. If you're going through that challenge right now, it's because God has something really big for you out there. He wants you to teach you to believe him and trust him and know that he'll provide for you. This is the invitation to the uninvited to go in the strength you have. Now, church, and I always say when the pastor shuts their book, they say the best stuff. There is a God space huge God space over this region that God wants us to step into. And he's not waiting. He says he doesn't want to wait for the big names and the people that come to town. But he's waiting for his people to step into their lane, to take what is in their hand and to run with it. He's waiting for those with gifts of compassion to show compassion. He's waiting for those that have gifts of giving to give. He's waiting for those that have the ability to lead, to lead. He's waiting for his people to step up and step out of the winepress, says God, and to step into the lane in the strength that I have placed within your hand. Just stand with me, church. God's got a radical future. Well, like Rachel said this morning, we're not doing church here because we like to decorate a building on a Sunday morning. We are the church of the living God. God says he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But the wonderful thing is it's a partnership with us. It's a partnership with us. I want you to lift your hands to heaven this morning. Father, I thank you that your word says that you know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. And Father, I thank you that this morning you stand the other end of our step. Father, you stand this morning, you stand in our future beckoning us forward, but the fear of our own inability stops us making the step. And Father, with our hands raised this morning, Father, we thank you for our inability because you anoint weakness. Father, you come and make strong the things that are weak, Lord God. You come and anoint our lives with a capacity that can only come from heaven. And so, Father, I pray this morning that dreams and visions and stuff that has remained dormant because we've been too scared, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that people from this day forward would begin, Lord Jesus, to step into their future. They begin to take the wheat that they've threshed in the winepress of obscurity, and God, they take it with them and begin to step out into incredible, mighty victories. It's like in my spirit I can see today that there is a place of occupation that is waiting. There's like a place of occupation that's waiting for your life. And for whatever reason, we haven't occupied. And so I'm just believing, I'm going to pray again, but I'm believing that there's going to be steps taken in all of our lives when we begin to occupy. Ladies, you have to be at She Is. I'm going to speak on wherever your foot places, wherever your, whatever that scripture is, about taking territory. You know, this women's conference is not about eating cake and learning to knit. It's about getting hold of territory. There's stuff to be done. Men and women, there's stuff to be done. There's lives to be changed. There are people out there this morning who are lost and need Jesus. Dave and Angela Lang. Can you just come here for a moment? Oh, wow, I love this couple. God's bringing it back. I remember prophesying of you years ago, Dave, that there was a pastor in you. And God's bringing it back. He's bringing the dream back. It's scaring the living daylights out of you. But there's ministry in your lives. There's major ministry in your lives. And God would say to you this morning, it hasn't been a detour. You haven't been on a detour. God's been shaping you. He's been increasing your capacity. He's giving you the ability to see church and to love church. through hell and high water. God says it's not been a detour. And he's got ministry for your lives. Don't let anybody tell you. Don't let your situation tell you. Don't let finance, don't let anything tell you, Dave in particular, that it's over, because it's not. God did not place you in Hope City Church for you to decorate a chair. He's got ministry for your life. He's got pastoral ministry for your life. Oh, just raise your hands to God. Heavenly Father, I pray for this couple. Father, yet again, I set them apart for ministry. Father, I thank you, Lord God. We thank you today for all the highs, for all the lows, for all the valleys, for all the learning curves. And Father, I pray that this year would be a territory-taking year. Father, I pray, Lord God, I silence the enemy over Dave's mind and over Angela's minds in the name of Jesus. And Father, we call that which is not as though it were in the name of Jesus. Father, we pull the future into their lives today in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that they are leaders. They are leaders. They're born to be leaders. They're born to be people shapers. They're born to be people that literally pull people out of darkness. And Father, I pray that you would make it so plain to them. I pray, Lord God, that the complication that's in Dave's head right now, that you just remove it in Jesus' name. And Father, it would be like the scales were lifted off his eyes and the future would be plain again in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.